Good morning, Oceans United. It's so good to be here this morning. I also want to say welcome to everybody who's online. And I just happened to check online a couple minutes ago, and I don't remember everybody that was online, but I saw some names stick out. And there was, I think Anna Marie was on there. Terry from Portland was on there. Let me see who else. India, who's actually from London, not Southampton, but India, good to see you on there. A fellow Brit. So she knows what we're talking about. But it's so good to be here, and it's such a privilege. And I don't know if we can turn these lights down a bit, because I'll be squinting the entire morning. Then I'll be I won't see what there we go. Maybe even more than that. Oh, perfect. Now I can see. But it's so good to be here this morning, and it's truly a privilege to be able to speak in front of you. And it's not an easy thing. As Peter knows, Peter's a veteran of many times up here. Doug knows. Doug's been up on the stage before. And it's a huge responsibility to get up and speak to an audience, but really to deliver the word of God. Because, I mean, the worst thing you could do is, be so far off track that, that it wouldn't line up with God. And that's always my prayer, that this lines up with God. This breakthrough thing came to me quite some time ago, when the pastor first told me he wanted me to speak, and the first thing I thought of was breakthrough. The first word that I got was breakthrough, and on the way to work every morning, I drive out to the airport, and I see this picture, this mountain out there. It's huge, and everybody knows which mountain it is, right? Anyone want to guess? Barometer, right? It's Barometer. So Barometer, I see it on the way to work every day. And the Lord spoke to me one day on the way out, and he said, "Can you move this mountain?" And just look at that thing. It's huge. I mean, it's huge. And I thought, wow. And I went to the Matthew 17, which talked about faith as small as a mustard seed. And if you have that, you can move mountains. But in my natural self, I thought, well, how in the world would that happen? I mean, I can't picture what that would look like. Therefore, my opportunity for a breakthrough is probably limited, because even though God says with faith as small as a mustard seed, I could move that mountain. But honestly, in my natural self, I mean, what happens? Does it shift left? Does it go into, does it cross over the road? Does it block my way out to the golf course? I mean, what does that move actually look like? And, I think that maybe happens sometimes with the breakthroughs that we're seeking, is that sometimes we limit our breakthrough because we create our own expectation of what that breakthrough should look like. We don't really give God the credit. I mean, and quite frankly, the breakthrough will almost never be what you expect. And quite frankly, it probably will never be exactly what you expect, because, God is so much wiser. God is so much ahead of us. And as Pastor said, the Alpha and the Omega. He already knows what that breakthrough looks like, as we're worrying about how I'm going to move that mountain. And just a little bit of history about Barometer. The name was given to Barometer in 1867 by the USGS Geodetic and Survey in 1867. And they called it Barometer because, and it's really true, you can tell the weather by that mountain. In the late summer, as it starts to brown up, it goes all the way up to the top, then snow hits, and then as we get into the spring, the snow starts to melt, and it starts to green on the way down. And it truly is a barometer of our local weather. And there's also days, and I'll show the next slide. There you go. That also tells you the weather. It also could be what barometer looks like if it moved. But I don't know that. I haven't prayed for that yet, so I don't know what it's going to be like. Okay, but you can go back to that for a second. So So as I was approaching this message, and I've been working on it for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and as I said, Peter knows this, messages are difficult to deliver because you want to get it right. And I'll be honest with you, folks, I struggled and struggled and struggled with this message. I mean, really struggled. And it wasn't coming together. Usually when I do a message, and I've had the privilege to do several, they come together fairly quickly, and I get an idea of where it's going to go and how it's going to end and what's going to be in the middle, and hopefully it comes out right. But this one just wasn't coming out. And actually, Pastor called me on Thursday, and he was all excited because he'd been in Anchorage for a week, and he was telling me about what he was doing, and he was out shopping and doing this other kind of stuff. And I, when he was done being giddy with shopping, I said, oh, gosh, I really hoping you were going to tell me that I don't have to give the message on Sunday. He says, no, you got it. You got it. So I go, oh, okay. And then Lori and I were driving around doing our grandpa and grandma drive. I was driving Miss Daisy around town in the evening. And we reached, I reached out a lifeline, and I made a cell phone call out, you know. And I said, Tammy, I need you to pray for me because it's just not coming together. And so we prayed, and I got some great tips. I wish I'd written them down. I don't remember any of them, but I had to keep my hands on the wheel. So my navigator was busy doing something else, so she didn't write it down either. But then Saturday morning, it just came together. You know, I shall say this wasn't without praying. I've been praying and praying, and then Saturday morning, it just came together. And I think this is a great indication. It's really a good indication because if you're going to deliver a message, you want it to be one that's impactful. You want it to be one that makes a difference, and as Pastor said, that will change lives. And I'm really convinced that what I'm going to say to or share with you today is going to change somebody's life. And there's a reason that I had to struggle because I think maybe somebody didn't want that message delivered. There was something keeping me from doing it. I could have just, quite frankly, because I could have called in sick, said, you know, it's the COVID, and something. So I can't do it. But no, I'm nothing if not an overcomer, and someone that perseveres. You know, you can't give up when things get tough. I mean, just let me tell you right now, don't give up because things are tough. You know, just don't give up. And so talk about breakthrough. My story about breakthrough is not just me talking about or sharing verses from the Bible. I'm coming from a position where I've had to have breakthroughs. I've needed breakthroughs. We've, as a family, have needed breakthroughs. And those breakthroughs didn't come easy. They came a lot easier when God was first, and they were a whole lot harder when God wasn't first. In fact, sometimes they were, and I'll share one today, but it was agony. Without putting God first through my breakthroughs, it just seemed like there was no way out. It seemed like, you know, you always talk about the light at the end of the tunnel. I was just in the tunnel. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. So that's what I want to share with you today. I want to share that with you today. And before I start, you know, anybody watches The Word and the Life on Wednesdays, you know, that pastor shares, it's a great, if you haven't done it, get out your iPhone when we're done, not right now. Get out your iPhone and put in a reminder for 6 p.m. Wednesday and watch Word and the Life. Now, probably not one this Wednesday, okay? But that's okay. Put in there anyway because it'll be practiced for the following Wednesday. So when it goes off, you go, oh, not today, but next Wednesday. So, but put it in there. But a couple Wednesdays ago, Pastor shared a couple jokes. And they were, you know, they're okay. So, I mean, I think one was in French. That's why nobody understood it. But so I thought I'm going to try a joke with you today. And it's a joke I shared with my son, who's a chef in Pittsburgh. And I shared this. And so this is it. So everyone knows who Elon Musk is, right? He's the Tesla SpaceX guy. So anyway, Elon Musk, and this is actually true. This is a true story. Elon Musk, you know, with his SpaceX, has created a restaurant on Mars. I mean, you know, they got the little helicopter that's flying around. They've got the rover that's going around. They've built a restaurant. And the restaurant's reviews are great food, no atmosphere. That's true. You can look it up. It's not fake news. But I want to tell you today, we have atmosphere. We have the Holy Spirit here today. And if you haven't moved close to the stage, maybe you're not sensing it, but with this worship and with just the presence of God here in this room, we have the Holy Spirit atmosphere here. And in case of worrying about the quality of the food, we have an unending supply of food right here, a never-ending supply of food. So I got over my nerves. I figured out what I wanted to say. I got to figure out my iPad. Yes, certainly. There we go. There we go. So let's talk about what's keeping you from your breakthrough. And, you know, breakthrough, there actually is a Hebrew word for breakthrough. And the Hebrew word is, and I won't pronounce it right because I'm not, my Yiddish is not so good, but it's Perez, P-E-R-E-S, Perez. And Perez means a gap, a breakthrough, or a shattering, a breaking of something. And breakthrough is used all throughout the Bible. And from a spiritual perspective, breakthrough typically is overcoming some spiritual roadblock. Being saved is a breakthrough, is a life-saving breakthrough. Gaining a deeper understanding of the Lord and your relationships or biblical truth, or overcoming an obstacle or a challenge in life can be a breakthrough. You know, sometimes, and I'm going to give you an ouch comment here in a second, but sometimes unforgiveness requires a breakthrough. And your lack of a breakthrough can simply be because you're holding unforgiveness. You know, I want to tell you that as you're hoping for a breakthrough and hoping that people will change, and if your breakthrough is a relationship issue, if it's a financial issue, if it's a promotion issue, whatever your breakthrough is, it might be small, might be large, whatever it is, and you're looking for that breakthrough, sometimes that breakthrough will require you to change. And what you're hoping for in somebody else, because they don't relate well to you, or they're mean to you, and you, whatever it is, you have offense against that person, and it goes on and on and on. Every time you meet them, you're somehow offended, or just they don't seem to get it that you're upset with them. Sometimes it's on you. Sometimes you're holding unforgiveness, and that unforgiveness is keeping you from your breakthrough. But if, as you turn towards the Lord and turn your face toward the Lord, He'll relieve you of that. You know, and Pastor, again, gave a message, I think, on Word and Life about unforgiveness. And I mean, who has dealt with unforgiveness? No show of hands. Okay, everybody's saying yes. You know, and unforgiveness is such, and this is not a message about unforgiveness, but unforgiveness is such an anchor, such a weight. You know, as you're holding unforgiveness, keeping you from your breakthrough, you're dragging this thing around. You know, and you're hoping the other person will get that you're upset with them, or get that you're offended, or get that they're not treating you correctly, or whatever it is, and they're just going on with their lives. And meanwhile, you're dragging this thing around. You know, you might never change them, but by letting go of that hurt, that anger, that offense, whatever it might be, by letting that go, you're going to be set free. And the other thought, too, is forgiveness is almost never instantaneous. It's a process. You've got to work through it bit by bit. You know, in Ephesians, Paul writes, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. So there's motivation right there. If we've been forgiven, and we were forgiven before we even entered the womb, if we've been forgiven from beginning to the end, why can't we forgive? And that's a breakthrough. You know, God wants you to receive your breakthrough from Him, but through Him. And through faith, we will receive a breakthrough. You won't receive the breakthrough you need without faith. You won't receive breakthrough on your own strength with your own understanding. You know, God is a God of second chances. And if you feel like you've been in a position where you're too far removed from Him, or if there's just, you've just become distant over time, you've separated. You know, in Exodus, it says the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. He is always faithful. His love is never ending. And essentially, I was looking up that specific verse the other day, and I found it. I Googled it, quite frankly, because I couldn't remember what it was, and I found it in prison ministries. There's a prison ministry that gives a whole bunch of verses related to second chances. And, you know, all of us have been or are in some sort of prison or some sort of bondage at some point, or somehow being held back. You don't have to be behind the bars. But the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And in Micah it says, who is God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance. You do not, and this is God, you do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. So mercy is always available. Mercy is always available. You know, God wants us to be a people who not only receive second chances, but through the grace afforded to us, offer second chances to others. That can be part of our breakthrough. And we need to forgive offenses and hurts. Again, as I said, all of them can keep us from experiencing the breakthrough we need. And God can use your breakthrough for his glory. You know, Saul received his breakthrough on the road to Damascus. And guess what? He didn't know he needed a breakthrough. He received a breakthrough that has changed your life and my life and generations to come to what happened on that road to Damascus. His breakthrough was world-changing, not just changing his life. I'm going to get to some scriptures. And I want to just preface this, the primary scripture, which is going to be Matthew 17, and lay the foundation for that. And the Matthew 17 scripture is, again, the scripture about the seed as big as a mustard seed and the ability to move mountains. But there's something that happened before that in Matthew 10. Jesus called his disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits. So he gave them, Jesus gave his 12 disciples, I think Jesse mentioned it earlier, gave his disciples. You know you went to a good message when everything leads up to it. You know, the songs would talk about moving mountains, and Jesse referenced a couple scriptures that I think I've incorporated. That's confirmation, and thank you, Jesus, for that. But Jesus called his 12 disciples together and sent them out packing light, as Jesse said. They had nothing. He said, don't take money, don't take extra clothes, just go out. And he gave them authority. He gave them authority to drive out demons, to heal sickness, and to help the poor. They had authority. So in Matthew 17, if you can put that up. Yeah. I don't know if that was a cheer or somebody's not feeling well. Let's do that again. So if you open your Bibles to Matthew 17. Yeah, that's like a Manchester United crowd. Matthew 17 says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Oops. And said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He said, he has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And then Jesus goes on to say, oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. That's ouch. Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And so Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Notice that it wasn't just a sickness. It said Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy. And he was healed for that moment. Then disciples came to Jesus in private and said, why couldn't we drive it out? What's wrong? Why couldn't we do it? And he replied, because you have little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, there's a different version of that in Mark. This says in Mark 9:21, it says, Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? And the father said, from childhood. He said, as often, so this is another reference to the demon, it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if he can do anything, take pity on us and help us. So Jesus questioned him, if you can? She said, Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. So here's the question, why couldn't the disciples drive out the demon? They had been given that commission several months ahead of time to go out and go all around Israel, and the 12 of them, they're given authority to drive out demons, to heal sickness, to cure the sick, to give sight to the blind. They'd had that. What happened here with this little boy and this demon. And Jesus said, this demon required prayer. It wasn't a just you're healed, get up, pick up your mat and go. It required prayer. And what he was inferring here, I believe, is that somehow the disciples, after doing all this healing, doing all this curing, they had backed away. They'd reveled in their success. They'd looked at their victories. I think they assumed that they were maybe more powerful than they thought they were. And they weren't praying. They weren't staying in the Lord. And they'd backed away from that. And without that connection to God, as before Christ healed them, I know that Christ was in prayer. Christ was in constant contact, constant communication with God. And that's what allowed him to heal that boy. The disciples were doing it on their own strength. And I think that's the trouble with our breakthroughs, is that when we try to when we hope for a breakthrough, we try to work through a breakthrough, we do it in our own strength. I mean, who hasn't done that? And I don't see any show of hands because mine would be the first one. But who hasn't attempted to go get the breakthrough with their own strength? I think we all do. I think it's human nature. You know, I remember we were driving one time, this is a long time ago, and my little boy was in the back of the Volkswagen bus, and we're coming from the base to town, and he was back to, he's about 18 months old, and he was kicking his shoes off, and it was cold, and we couldn't reach him because he was way back then. I remember saying, Andy, leave your shoes on. Don't take your shoes off. And he said, will if want. I mean, aren't we like that? You know, don't do that. Well, I will if I want to. I think that's us a lot of the time. And not submitting to the will of God. We want our will if want, versus your will be done. You know, breakthroughs seldom come without a battle or a struggle. And the more the struggle, the more the battle, the greater the breakthrough. But without that closeness to God, without that intimate relationship with God, that struggle will just continue. In 1 Chronicles, God is described in military terms as the Lord of breakthrough, or the Lord who bursts through. I like that phrase. And this is when he allowed David to defeat the Philistines. In 1 Chronicles, David asked God, should I go out to fight the Philistines, or Philistines, if you're from England? Will you hand them over to me? The Lord replied, yes, go ahead. I will hand them over to you. So David and his troops went up to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines. God did it, David exclaimed. He gave him the credit. He used me to burst through my enemies like a raging flood. That's the bursting through. So they named that place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord who bursts through. If we allow the Lord to burst through our obstacles, our obstructions, our challenges, if he is the one to burst through, that's when we start to achieve success. In Isaiah, he says, I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I can only imagine what Moses was thinking with just the horde of Egyptians right behind him as he approached the Red Sea. What was he thinking? And it was he trying to figure, well, this is how I'm going to get across. I'm going to build a bridge, or I'm going to dig a trench, or I'm going to, whatever it is. If he was trying to solve his obstacle, his challenge, he would have been there when the Egyptians showed up. And it's the same thing, I think, for Joshua when he crossed the Jordan. You know, God created a seaway, a highway where there was a seaway. God created that dry path. So if you take David's victories and his willingness and desire to please God and to acknowledge God in all of his victories, and then there's a contrast to that. In Joshua, you remember the story of Jericho and how the Israelites marched around, you know, with the ark, the priests marched around the walls 7 times, and they just collapsed. That was a breakthrough. That was a huge breakthrough. But then shortly after that, they went on to another battle, another campaign, and they came up to the city of Ai. And I don't know if you remember the story, but it didn't go so well. In fact, the Israelites were soundly, soundly defeated. They'd gone from this fabulous victory where they just walked around. I mean, wouldn't it be cool just to walk around your problem and have it just collapse? That's all you have to do. They went from this fabulous victory to this resounding defeat where thousands of Israelites were killed. And it's because they separated themselves from God. And they sinned by separating themselves from God. But that's not the end of the story. You know, if we've done the same things, if we've strayed away from God, you know, as I said earlier, you know, he's a God of second and third and fourth chances. It says in Micah, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? And I love this part. It says, you do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. And that's a key point to think about. If you're in a position where you've strayed away, as Pastor was saying, if you've strayed away from God, or you're angry with God for some reason because you feel like he's abandoned you, something's happened in your life where God, you feel like God has been as distant, or you've somehow separated from him, God will forgive that. And don't have to take my word from it. It's in the Bible. The Lord is a God of second chances. He will forgive that. You just need to turn your heart to him. And sometimes that's not easy. It's just not easy, because sometimes it's easier to hold on to that hurt, that anger, that bitterness, because it's something you can feel and it's real. And faith is sometimes not tangible. You know, faith is until you activate it and you see the fruits of your faith, you just don't see that. And it's just sometimes it's better to hold on to something that's painful because you know about it and you can identify it and you can see it. But that's not the way to freedom and breakthrough. The way to freedom and breakthrough is to look up and not look within. I want to share a little story here, and then I want to share a testimony. But some of you might have heard this story before, and I've always liked it because it involves a helicopter. So this story could actually have occurred anywhere, but this particular story happened in New Orleans. So has anybody lived in New Orleans? You'll know what I'm talking about. This is a story about a Cajun named Etienne. And if you've ever been there, you know they have bayous, and you know, Cajuns are different folks. They don't always speak English. In fact, they don't speak English. They speak Cajun. But anyway, so Etienne is out living in the bayou, and there's this hurricane approaching. And so he's sitting at home, and the floodwaters are starting to rise. And so Etienne goes out onto his porch, and the water's now up to his porch. And this pirogue, which is a canoe, this pirogue comes by. And the other Cajun says, Etienne! Etienne, allez vite, get in the boat. And he says, no, man. He said, I'm waiting for God. So the water keeps coming up, and now he's at the second floor window. He's hanging out of his bedroom window, and this flood waters are right there, just below the threshold. And this airboat comes zooming by, and he says, Etienne, let's go, let's get in the boat. You know, I used to listen on the radio when I was out flying in New Orleans. I could never understand him. Anyway, this is the best I can do for Etienne. But Etienne, get in the boat. And Etienne says, no. He says, I'm waiting on God. So a couple hours go by, and now he's sitting up on his roof because the water's up to his chimney. And his helicopter, and it was a Coast Guard helicopter. And in my day, it would have been H-3, but it could be an H-60, it could be an H-65, came by and lowered the basket to him. And they said, Etienne, get in. He said, no. He said, I'm waiting for God. So next scene, he sees Etienne's knocking on the gates of heaven, and gates of heaven open, and he says, Lord, he said, why didn't you save me? He said, well, I sent you a canoe and a flatboat and a helicopter. Yeah. Okay. It could have been here in Kodiak, and I could have been talking about Richard, you know, and his boats. But the point being is that the Lord provides us solutions. But when we look for our own solutions, and we miss opportunities, we let those opportunities pass by. Don't let those opportunities pass by. And the way we do that is by focusing on God. I've shared this testimony with you several times. Some of you have heard it, and it's like, okay, here he goes again. But I think it's important to share this one. And you know, throughout our lives, Lori and I's lives together, we've had numerous needs for breakthroughs. I mean, there's just been so many chances, times where things weren't going the way we wanted them to. We wanted to hope for a better outcome. And this particular one was, after we retired from the Coast Guard, we owned a business downtown that was wildly successful for quite a while. And I actually brought it, but I'm not going to show it. We were featured on a Super Bowl commercial. Can you imagine that? I mean, it's here in Kodiak, Alaska. We were featured on a Super Bowl commercial because the business reflecting just, I think, the strength of that business. And that was as high as we could go. I mean, that was like, that was on the mountaintop. And then 2 or 3 years later, we were in the valley because some things happened in town. The business started to fail beyond, and it's no fault of our own. Nothing we could do about it. There was just no way we could turn it around. And we needed a breakthrough. Quite frankly, we seriously needed a breakthrough because it was a financial just disaster, quite frankly. We didn't know how to get from one day to the next. We were using one credit card to pay off another credit card. I don't know if everybody's been there. You know, if you do the Dave Ramsey thing, says cut up all your credit cards. But we needed all those credit cards to pay off the ones that were calling us first. And this went on for a couple years. And if you've ever had sleepless nights, this was years of sleepless nights, 2 or 3 years of sleepless nights. And not proud to say, but you know, they put it out quarterly. They say so and so owes property taxes or city sales taxes. We were right there. You know, our name was in the poor performing bad person category of not paying our sales taxes and property taxes, and we weren't proud of it. But there's nothing we could do. Nothing we could do. So I was driving out to the airport one day and just went around Dead Man's Curve, and I tried everything, and we'd just recently been saved. So we knew God. I'd always known God all my life, but I didn't have that close relationship with God that I know I needed to have. And as I was going around the corner, past just by Swampy Acres, something just struck me. I needed to let go. And so I did. I'm still driving. I took both hands off the steering wheel as I was going around Dead Man's Curve, which I don't recommend. But I took both hands off the steering wheel. And I just said, God, I just give this to you. And there was this presence in that car. And the weight, crushing weight of debt, of fear of failure, embarrassment, just everything that goes with those types of needs for breakthroughs, it was just erased. The problem hadn't gone away, but I just knew that God was in charge because I'd given him permission to take charge of my life. All the while that I was trying to control the outcome, trying to create a solution to a problem that I could never solve by myself, it just continued, it perpetuated, and it got worse and it got worse. But the moment I just relinquished control, I submitted to God, and that was a whole full submission. It wasn't like, okay, God, I'll give you this part of the problem, I can handle the rest. It was, God, I need you in my life right now. I need you to direct every aspect of my life. Everything from how I raise my children to how I relate to others to how I pay my bills to how I get out of this mess to what I do tomorrow. I need you in my life. And that weight, that crushing burden came off. 3 years later, we closed the business. So it didn't go, the problem didn't resolve automatically, didn't resolve immediately. In fact, we were $300,000 in debt. I mean, that was a lot of money. But I can tell you, every single dollar was paid off. When we closed the business, we didn't owe anybody any money. Our name was restored, and that debt was paid. And I cannot tell you where the money came from. Well, I can. But I can't tell you. I couldn't go back and look at my QuickBooks and say, well, there's some here, some there. I don't know where the money came from. I just don't. God does. Because God saved us at that point. We're in a point where, I'd passed up the flatboat. I'd passed up the canoe. I might have jumped on the helicopter for a free ride. But I missed that too. God came into my life at the moment, at the exact moment. It was instantaneous when I finally said, I let everything else go. Lord, I am yours. Take over my life. And I want that for you too. For those that you need that, I want that for you too. And it's possible, it's achievable. And I think once we get past the will if want kids and they're still in us, and I Lori would probably tell you I'm still will if want guy sometimes. You know, I have to check myself every now and again. I could be a will and want at any given moment. But when we're willing to give that up, and as Pastor was saying, when we put God first, and the reason I'm saying this, see, I'm not saying this as a pastor because I'm not. Yeah, you know, I'm just an older guy with gray hair. And actually, I should say that when Pastor was talking about first seeing me at the Ardinger's place, he told me later, he said, because I think Doug was there, and then I was there by myself, Lori wasn't there. He said, I hope that guy comes back because we need more people with gray hair. It's nothing about my character or anything else that I would bring to the church. It's just like, hey, we need more old folks is really what he was saying. But I claim that. I'm claiming that. Anyway. We need to actively seek God and to listen to what he says and then follow his direction. And how are you going to know what he's saying? You're only going to know what he's saying when you hear his voice, when you recognize his voice. And as you distance yourself from God, it's like anything else, like any other relationship with anybody else. The more distance you put, the harder it is to relate. We need to spend time with God. And I'd be the first to say, there's times where I go a long stretch of time when I don't open my Bible. And then I feel guilty because I didn't open my Bible. I go, oh gosh, you know. And you know, the Lord's not going to say, well, John, you did it again. It's not going to work that way. You know, the Lord is a God of multiple chances. And I want to tell you, just as a hint, and I've been doing it lately, it's really helpful for me because sometimes I look at the Bible and I go, gosh, this thing is huge. I don't know where to start. And some of it's incomprehensible to me. I don't get it. That's why I love to come on Sunday mornings and the Bible's like an onion that the pastor peels back layer after layer after layer and I see new meaning. Yeah, I don't always get that. A lot of times I don't get it. But I'd recommend a devotional. You know, if you don't have the YouVersion Bible app, get that app. It's got some great Bible plans on there. I'm reading one right now. It's going through the Acts of the Apostles and Luke. And it's just 5 or 10 minutes every day. You know, Doug talks about going to his prayer rock. You know, and that's his place where he just seeks sanctuary with the Lord. You know, find that place. Turn off the TV. You know, don't listen to Fox News or whoever else you're listening to for that period of time and just separate yourself from everything else and just focus on the Lord because that's how you get to breakthrough. If you don't do that, there is no breakthrough. I'm talking about, that was my introduction, by the way. So, am I doing for time? Okay, good. A couple more hours. I'll need Kyla to open this for me in a minute. So I want to talk a little bit about faith. And so here's 5 points. Feel free to write them down or look on the notes because they're there too. 5 points about faith. So first of all, true faith is an effective faith that produces results. Or as Pastor would say, fruits. Produces fruits. It'll move mountains. With your faith, you can move mountains. And quite frankly, if I was in a position on any given day where I needed a move barometer and it was just one of those life-saving events where I knew that the Lord was in it, I have no doubt that mountain would move. And one of the translations that said, I think it's in Mark, is said he would hurl it into the sea. So I don't even have to figure out where it's going. He just says he's going to hurl it into the sea, so I don't have to think about that. But if I just look at that, close my eyes and say, Lord, you know, I've been dealing with this issue for some time. I need you to move this. It'll be moved. It will be moved. So the proof of your faith or your active faith is the fruit that it bears. And that doesn't mean that there won't be hardships along the way, challenges. In fact, your faith needs to be tested. If you've established relation for the God, you've got a foundational faith, if you don't exercise it like anything else, it won't grow. So you need those challenges, but the challenges should never fear the challenges when you're in a close relationship with God because he'll provide the way out. And if we drift away, which we sometimes do, you know, in life, we just do. Life gets in the way sometimes. Just remember, and I love this, and I used to sort of scratch my head about it sometimes, but once I really understood how much God loves us, how much he was willing to sacrifice for us, that he left the 99 to go after the one. And I always used to wonder about that. It's like, okay, well, 99% is good enough. Why leave those 99 to go after the one? Because everyone is valuable. Everyone is as valuable as the next one. You are as valuable, despite what you might think about yourself, despite what your past history says about you, despite what your reputation in town might be, despite when you look, how it is when you look in the mirror in the morning and what you see, God sees you as his perfect creation. He does. And there's no doubt about that. The better you develop your relationship with God, the easier it will be to prepare you for the challenges that will come. Second, truth faith is not a belief in faith as a force. It's not like a Jedi thing. But faith in God. Faith stems from God. Mark 12:22 says, I tell you the truth, if one says to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but this is the key, but believes it will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. And Christ doesn't say your prayers will be answered immediately, but that they will be answered. Key point. So don't give up. Stay resolute. Draw closer to God. Spend time in his word, however you need to do it. This is key. We're always reminded to spend time in the word when we're at church. And I think we always sometimes often slip back. Find a way. Find a way to spend time with the Lord. Number three, true faith is a work of God within the hearts of Christians. So true faith doesn't happen all by itself. It's a work of God. It's divinely imparted to our hearts and that our prayers will be answered. The Holy Spirit creates faith within us, so we can't produce it by ourselves. Romans 12:3 says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. So God will impart a measure of faith. And Paul speaks of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he says, Now in each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the gift of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another the faith by the Spirit. So faith is delivered to you by the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Faith is a gift. It's a gift to be used and exercised continually, and it will be tested. Number four, since true faith is a gift from God, it's vital that we draw near to him and to his word. The Lord says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. His close presence and our obedience to his word are the source and way to everlasting faith and the way to breakthrough. So in John 15, it says, if you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And number five, true faith is under God's control. It's given on the basis of God's love, his wisdom and his grace, and for his kingdom's purpose. Are your circumstances before your faith? Have you placed your circumstances before your faith? And how are you prioritizing your circumstances? Is your desire for breakthrough so consuming that you place it before all else, even God? And if you place your faith before circumstances, put your faith before circumstances. God will control your circumstances and the outcomes. If you don't, then the circumstances will control you. You have to give God the control. And I've talked mainly about individual breakthrough, and I want to finish up by talking about church breakthrough. Have you noticed it's springtime? Even today, it was kind of iffy today, but yesterday and the day before, it was springtime. And if you've come into this church for any length of time, I can tell you there's breakthrough happening in this church. there's a move of God that's been happening in this church. We've been constantly pushing through all the time, from the bouncy house days to the Arnica days to the KCS days to today. We're only here today because of a move of God. We wouldn't be where we are today without that. There's been both individual and organizational breakthrough. You know, if you want to know something about the history of our church, I really recommend GrowTrack. It's a free plug for GrowTrack. But I think the best thing about GrowTrack is you learn about the history of this church. And what's most important about the history of the church is not history for history's sake, but is what was behind that history, what is behind that history. Now, and the best example I can give you is, you know, we've been working on praying for a solution. We need a breakthrough on this big building out here. And we've been praying for that for some time. That building, for the longest time, I believe, is as being viewed as, in some ways, depending on how you look at it, a failure, an inability to have correct vision, just a distancing from God. Maybe we never had the correct vision anyway, but it just hangs over us as a constant reminder of unfulfilled promise. Well, in early March, Pastor asked the board to pray and fast for 21 days about direction for the church, and specifically direction for that building. And we did, and I can say personally, was it going to be a high school? Was it going to be a gymnasium? Was it going to be whatever it was going to be? We just didn't know. But at least for me personally, I know that the word I heard clearly was just finish the building. Just get it ready to occupy. Get it ready to occupy. Don't worry about what you're going to do with it, but get it ready to occupy. And then the Lord will provide additional resources, additional ideas, but get it ready to occupy. And so to that end, just very recently, and Pastor mentioned last week, but he didn't tell the second part of the story, is that a gentleman, or actually a pastor from Shane from Alabama, called him up one morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning, sent him a text and said, how much debt does the church have? And the church has about $53,000 in debt that went into replacing the boilers and siding and all this kind of stuff. And that debt's been around for a long, long time. We haven't reduced that debt. And so Pastor got up again a little bit later because he was prompted by God to get up and answer the text. And he just said, well, $53,000. And what we didn't know at the time and found out later, that Pastor Shane, who will be up here at some point to deliver the check personally, had just finished up a project at his church in Alabama. Guess how much money was left over? Anyone want to guess? $53,000. Now you can say, okay, that's a coinky dink. I give credit to my mother-in-law for that. That's not me. That's not English. But you could say, is that a coincidence? Yeah, I'm claiming not. I'm claiming that's a move of God. That's a confirmation that God has been behind this church. And it's not behind the church because it's a church or a building. It's what happens inside here. And as Jesse was saying, ministering to people, reaching out to people, launching out. We have a lot of Coasties leaving this summer. And I can guarantee you they're going to be launched out. They're going to take with them what they've been fed, what they've learned from this church, and it's going to carry throughout the world. I'm amazed sometimes when I look online and we have people from Mauritius. We have people from Strasbourg, France. Bonjour to everybody online. Ça va? I say, il pleut aujourd'hui. I say, look that up on Google. Translate. And we have people in England. I mean, we have a multinational congregation. That's just amazing. From a start of the Panton family was the church originally. That was it. It's just grown. So there's a move of God here that's happening. And I'm almost ready. I know you guys are ready to go. I want to talk just, we've had a couple messages. Can we put up the Oasis picture for a second? I want to thank my technic team back there. You know, Pastor talked about Oasis quite a bit. And, you know, anybody remember the, I'm not sure it's an Israelite word, a Jewish word for, it's Elim, E-I-L-M. Enlarge, launch, invade, move. Easy to remember. But talked about Oasis. And I picked this one out because it actually is in Africa, not in Peru, I think. The picture you showed was in Peru, but that was okay. But this is a picture of an oasis, and you probably can't see, maybe you can, but there's some footsteps, maybe the camel steps, I don't know, in the very front right there. And that, I looked at that and I thought, wow, you know, what an amazing, what a beautiful looking place. But you know what? You had to go through the desert to get there. Somebody traveled to that oasis and they had to go through miles and miles and miles of desert. And you know what? They were thirsty on the way. They were hungry. They were lost. You know, if you're traveling in a desert and you don't know that oasis is there, you're a couple of sand dunes away, you know, what's your mindset? You know, it's like, oh, this journey will never end. But if you know that oasis is over the next sand dune, how are you going to approach the journey? If you know that God is with you and God is not away from you, God is with you, how are you going to approach your journey? I think you're going to approach it of knowing there is refuge, there is refreshing water, endless water. But there's also something else that goes out with this oasis, is that you can't hang out there forever. You need to get refreshed, you need to get restored, you need to get strengthened, and then you need to be launched out again, back across that desert to the next oasis, knowing that there will be one because you have faith in the Lord who always provides. So the Spirit in, I'll back up. I'll just say this. The Lord has planted us here for a reason, here at Oceans United. And even as you're waiting for your breakthrough, know that he has a plan for you. And he knows how your story will end. I'll read from Peter. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And that darkness is really where you are in need of a breakthrough. It's sometimes dark in there. But he'll call you into his wonderful light. And I'll finish with this verse. And we know this one, it's read a lot, but it's the second portion of the verse that really spoke to me. And it says, from Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. And we often stop right there. That's where we end up, and that's good enough for me. You know, he has a plan for me to prosper me, not to harm me. But then here's really the meat of the whole thing. It says, then you will call upon me and come to pray to me. I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. So I just want to say, be encouraged, be steadfast, remain in faith, because God loves us and he is faithful. Amen.
Amen, amen. Great word. Thank you, John. Awesome word. Awesome word. We're going to get ready in just a little bit to take communion right before we leave. Isn't God amazing? That story that he shared about the pastor who called me, who texted me at 4:11 a.m. a couple of Sundays ago, it really shook me. Because I think I underestimated what God can do. You know, have you been there where you kind of think like maybe my situation is way too difficult for God? And in a way, that's the way that I actually see even that building project. It's big. It's huge in terms of risk, because once you start, you put a marker out there, and the marker that is out there is visible. It's visible for everybody to see. Not putting a marker like right there is comfort, because you can hide. But when you do put a marker out, it's like you're taking a step of faith that is visible. What if I fail? What if I step out into nothing and I fail and everybody sees it. But what this pastor did that kind of reignited something in me was God was saying, it's not about you. It was never about you. All you need to do is to be obedient. Just be obedient. If God can supernaturally speak to someone way out in Alabama, supernaturally, God can actually speak to many other people to bring in the resources, whatever we need to complete the task that God has set before this church. Same vision. Nothing has changed from what God spoke 20 plus years ago regarding this project. Before we fasted that March, I felt God was telling me to go back to visit with that very first pastor who kind of like initiated that project. Many of you would know him. His name is Pastor Rex Leaf. Felt really strong in my spirit to go connect with him and ask him this question. Simple question. What did God show you? That's all I needed to know. Because what God showed him, it's still valid today. Because our God doesn't change. He spoke through him, and it's that same word, that same vision, that is still alive this day. I think where I got afraid is when I stepped outside and I was looking for the vision somewhere else. I made what I knew about this the vision of this building my own. I needed to embrace what God spoke as his vision from get-go. The moment when I went there, I had this confirmation with him, that word, it affirmed that we're on the right path. It's time to move forward. It's time to move. As we move, we'll meet God. We'll see him, because where he's taking us, he's already been there. I believe all the funds, everything that we need, will be made available when we step out into this unknown. Church, get ready. It's about to happen. We're about to see the miraculous, the supernatural. Still the same God that opened up the Red Sea. Still the same God who raised someone from the grave and healed the sick. That's the same God that we serve today. That's the same God that's going to provide for all of our needs as a church, and also for you individually. Because the church is you. It's you. Is everybody ready for communion? Would you please stand? I believe I might need one too. Thank you. It's a passage in Luke chapter 22, verse 14. It says, when the hours come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles were with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup, and gave thanks. Take this and divide it among yourself. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom comes. Then he took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Would you take and eat? Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Would you take a drink? Let's pray, and then we may be dismissed. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this powerful word today. We thank you, Lord God, that breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough is coming. We thank you, Jesus, for you are a good God. It is your desire, it is your will that we may be set free, that we may be made whole. We thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Greet somebody on your way out. For those who are watching us online, we thank you. You are part of our church body. We thank you for tuning in and watching us. God bless you.